Welcome to the Beyond the Shoe Box Score Podcast, where you hear from current and former Sacred Heart student athletes and coaches. Here's your host, Dan Gardella.
What's up and welcome back to the Beyond the Shoe Box Score Podcast. My name is Dan Gardella. Thank you so much for joining me once again for the sixth episode already of the podcast. We have another great guest for this episode. Julius Chestnut, the preseason All-American, joined me for a little bit of time to kind of talk about what's been going on in college football, specifically with Sacred Heart. Obviously, as you know, the NEC didn't have any fall sports in the fall. So football, best case scenario, is going to be pushed to the spring. There's still no information on that. The conference hasn't come out with anything, but I'm confident that there would be a football season. I think they're going to find a way to incorporate a six-week season that we've seen for some of the mid-major football conferences. I know the MAC is doing a six-game one. I think there's a couple other conferences that are doing six games. So I think the NEC may look to do something like that in the spring where you do six straight weeks, six opponents, possibly a postseason. But Julius joined me just to talk about, I mean, his first 2 years were as noticeable as can be. You know, freshman year comes in behind Jordan Meacham. He was technically the third string running back behind Jordan Meacham and Eli Terry. Eli Terry gets hurt, so he jumps into an expanded role, makes the most out of it, rushes for around 800 yards, win Offensive Rookie of the Year in the NEC. Coming off of that year, Jordan Meacham obviously had run for 1,400 yards his freshman year. So Jordan Meacham is looking to repeat his great performance from the 2018 season. Game one of 2019, Meacham gets banged up, not 100% most of the year. So all of a sudden, Julius is now put into the number one spot on the depth chart. And he took the opportunity, and I guess no pun intended, he ran with it. I know that's kind of a lame pun, but it was right down the middle. I'm going to use it. And rushed for just under 1,500 yards, 11 touchdowns. Just was one of the best rushers in college football last season. And he had a heavy workload. He carried the ball a lot because Sacred Heart's offense is really formed around the running game. And having him there and being a workhorse was really fun to watch because he would just game in and game out, put in 100-yard performances, mix in a touchdown typically. And Mark Nofri, I know when I've talked to him, he has called him one of the hardest working players on the team. And the quote that he says is, when one of your best players is also one of your most hardworking players, that's how you know your team is in good shape. So high words, high praise from the Sacred Heart head coach to Julius Chestnut. As for sports around the country, not much has changed since the last podcast. Basketball is still picking up steam. Football is kind of, hopefully, you know, continuing to pick up steam and progress throughout their season, whether it's shortened or not. In terms of COVID cases, things have been fairly normal and regular. No spikes or anything yet, which has been certainly encouraging. On the NFL side, it's been a different story, but you know, hopefully that gets sorted out and the league finds ways to get all the games in and continue on the season given all the circumstances. But we'll switch gears. We'll go right to the interview. Julius Chestnut joined me for about 20, 25 minutes to talk about everything from his career at SHU to how he got to SHU and even what he wants to improve on in his game moving forward. So without further ado, my interview with Julius Chestnut.
Joining me now is Julius Chestnut, the Sacred Heart junior running back for the football team. And just 2 seasons, he's already eclipsed the 2,200-yard mark. He's the first underclassman to ever rush for more than 2,000 yards in a career. Julius, thanks so much for joining me. Let's just get started to even before your career at SHU. How did you get drawn to the sport of football? What point in your life did you really start to find that love for the game?
Probably middle school. You know, earlier in my life, I started football when I was 6 years old. And it's just been with me ever since. My father always pushed me to work harder and harder. So it was just one thing I always loved to do. And I used to play defense a lot. So I loved to hit when I was younger. So that was mainly my thing, why I love the game of football.
So at what point in your life did you transition to the offensive side and start taking the running back position a little more seriously?
Probably high school was where I realized, like, okay, offense is me, running back is me. 'Cause my 10th grade year I played defense mostly, but junior year and senior year I played running back most of the time and was like, all right, yep, this is my position.
Did you feel that running back was going to give you a better chance to play in college, or were you confident that you could still get some looks even playing on the defensive side?
Honestly, I felt I could get more on the defensive side. That's what most of the people used to tell me. But I love to run the ball. It's just something I like to do. I mean, it just gives me that rush, you know?
So then let's talk about your recruitment process. You know, obviously you come to Sacred Heart in the fall of 2018, but even before that, what was the process like? What were other schools that were maybe in consideration for your services at running back?
So I actually had two other schools that gave me a full scholarship, and that was Central Connecticut and Morgan State. Other schools talked to me, of course, but SHU was the one that, you know, talked to me the most and made me feel comfortable as to where this is the home that I should be at. So that's mainly why I chose Sacred Heart. The coaches gave me welcome arms and took me under their wing, so I was able to come here.
What part of the pitch stood out to you the most when they were pitching Sacred Heart to you and the football program?
That they run the ball a lot. So I said, yeah, absolutely. I would love to come here.
So you do come in. You come in, like I said, fall of 2018. The 18-19 season, you're in a way, you're splitting carries among two other running backs with Jordan Meacham, Eli Taylor, who was a grad student at the time. So you're really coming in. Were you expecting to have carries or a lot of carries? Or what were you told coming into freshman year in terms of the workload that you would have in the backfield?
I came in and they told me I had to work regardless. I already knew that coming in as a freshman, I had to work. Unfortunately, Eli went down with an injury, so that gave me the opportunity to play more and get more carries. But they told me right away I had to come in and work. So that was just it. I didn't expect as many carries as I got, but it happened.
So, I mean, you come in. I remember watching the first, you know, your first game, and you can't really talk about a better start to a college football career than the one that you had. I think you had like two touchdowns. You had 60 to 70 yards. You were returning kickoffs. You're kind of doing a little bit of everything, and you win Rookie of the Week in the conference your first week. I mean, just talk about how much confidence that gave you going throughout your freshman year, knowing that you were going to get more carries with Terry being out, and you knew that you were very versatile on the field.
Yeah, it definitely gave me that confidence booster. Gave me more trust in my offense. They got more trust into me from the coaches from that standpoint, that they can trust me to be on the field and give me more opportunities to be able to show my talent.
So you mostly split carries with Jordan Meacham, who I previously mentioned. You know, he had been in the program for some time and was really a staple in the backfield. What did you learn the most from him freshman year and even carrying into sophomore year in terms of how a Sacred Heart running back carries themselves, for a lack of a better term, and how they go about their business, knowing that Sacred Heart's program is notorious for running the football a lot?
Yeah, absolutely. Jordan was a tremendous leader to me. He just took me under his wing as well, and he taught me ways to run the ball, how to create space, how to different types of things, even running routes, because Jordan Meacham is a great route runner, as little as people know about him. But yes, he absolutely is. And as a running back at Sacred Heart, you have history of running backs that came through here. Keshada Spence, of one just to think of, was a great running back. And he transitioned the running back game for the rest of us. That's why Sacred Heart is known for running the ball. So Jordan told me as soon as I came in that running backs is what carries this offense. And that's also a reason why we both had our success in the running game.
What part of the college game was the toughest thing to adjust to?
The speed of the game is totally different from high school. So learning the plays, learning defenses, how they move, how the offense moves, it's very critical in certain areas of the game of football. And now that I'm in college, where you mess up this little thing, it can blow a whole play up. So it's just totally different from high school.
Did you have a moment, and I know from talking with other players across all sports, was there a moment your freshman year where you had this, you know, now you're playing college football moment where you're kind of like woken up a little bit? Or was there a particular play that kind of made you realize like, oh, I'm playing college football now?
First play I got in ever in that shoe uniform, I got in, was nervous, shaking, you know, almost had a false start. But yeah, after that, you get the jitters out and you kind of wake up. And yeah, that was it.
Talk about Campus Field and the atmosphere that it has provided, at least in your career, because, you know, your freshman year, you come in, you guys are successful, you're co-NEC champions. Last year, you come in with high expectations. You pretty much sell out Campus Field every single game that you were there. I'm pretty sure you set maybe two or three records within the season in terms of total attendance. You know, when the place is packed the way it was last year, can you feel it on the sideline? And how much does it feed into how you actually play?
Absolutely, you can feel it. That's also what I mean by that first play I got in. You can hear the crowd roaring because I got in on the goal line, and that's when the crowd is going crazy. So that Campus Field, it gets loud too, and you can hear, feel the vibrations in the stands when they're going crazy. Yeah, last year you can tell it was a difference from my freshman year, as in standout crowd. And the first game of the season home last year against Bucknell was crazy. I had never seen so many people at a game. But yeah, they definitely show out now at Campus Field.
And that first game, since you talk about it, I mean, that Bucknell game was sort of, it, you know, it was foreshadowing the season that you were going to have. Just under 1,500 yards, you led all of FCS football in carries, you had 11 touchdowns, you kind of did everything, including catching two touchdowns in that first game. You talked about how good of a receiver Jordan Meacham was in the backfield, and I know I've talked to you about you wanting to step up that game. How much do you feel you can improve your game and your versatility by being a more active receiver?
Just I've been working with the wide receivers lately on my route running, trying to get my route running down pat and trying to get that together, because I feel as though that is one part of the game that nowadays needs to be worked on, and everybody needs to learn how to catch. Everybody needs to learn how to run routes, and helping you in that part of the game will help create other aspects of the game work out for the entire team. So that's one thing I feel so I needed to work on. So that's what I've been doing.
There was one podcast that is on the Believe Podcast Network, and their main podcast, it talks about FCS football. And in one of the episodes, they talked about the best running backs in the FCS football. And you were obviously brought up based on the season that you had last year. And the thing that stuck out to them was your footwork, and that they loved your footwork when you were carrying the ball, receiving, doing everything. Mm-hmm. Now, how much work do you put into it, and what elements really make up your footwork and perfecting that craft?
Absolutely, it's just working on it. You know, I do a lot of ladders, cone drills especially. Growing up with my father, that was one of the things that he made sure I had doing repeatedly, and getting that repetition down helps. Watching, as I was younger, he always told me to watch Barry Sanders, watch Walter Payton highlights, and that's how I get my moves, where I learn from how to get one way this way that fast, or certain things like that. But Le'Veon Bell, as of lately, is who I take after, as in his one cuts are tremendous. He gets from this place to this place at a dime. So, like, that's more of where I'm, like, getting my feet work from, just film and repetition.
If you looked at your game, you know, you talk about Le'Veon Bell being somebody that you kind of model your game after, but if you kind of put together the perfect player of who Julius Chestnut is as a running back, what other NFL players and some skills that maybe other players have, if you put them all together, what other players would you add into what you model your game after?
A lot of people will say I run like Leonard Fournette, but I don't really see it. But a lot of people say I do, just based off of my build of a running back. Chris Carson for the Seahawks is a running back that I also watch. He's pretty good. So I would say I'm more like a Chris Carson type of running back.
For somebody who's never seen your game, you know, how would you describe it?
Just downhill, you know. I juke a lot, actually. For my size, I've told I juke way more than I like try to run through people. But yeah, I try to juke a lot. That's basically it.
What was the best juke that you've ever had? I guess if you can remember the particular play.
I can't remember, but it was one play against UPenn last year around the goal line on, like, the one-yard line, I remember. Is exactly like a Le'Veon Bell type run. I set the dude up going this way and cut right back and made him fall. Yeah, that's basically it, one I remember.
So you're kind of going off of your sophomore year more. I mean, you talk about your freshman year, you come in, you were thinking you were going to be splitting carries with two other running backs. One gets injured, it allows you to step up. Last year, it's you and Jordan Meacham as this dynamic backfield. You know, Jordan coming off of a 1,400-yard rushing season the season before. Mm-hmm. Game one against Maine, he gets roughed up, injured a little bit, and he's never really 100% throughout the rest of the season. So now all of a sudden, you're number one on the depth chart, and you're getting carry after carry. I think there are even some games where you got 35, 40 carries. You know, how, you know, you when you go into a season expecting to split carries, you know, how much more do you have to ramp up your preparation knowing that you are the go-to guy and you're going to be getting a lot of carries and you're going to be relied on a lot to put your team in a good position to score?
One is keeping my body right. Going to my athletic trainers a lot and watching film and doing things like that. So that's what helped me.
You know, and so you have the season that you do, and you mentioned when you were growing up, your father tells you to watch Barry Sanders, Walter Payton highlights. How cool was it to be nominated for the Walter Payton Award, which highlights one of the best offensive players in all of FCS football?
It's a tremendous honor. Never would have thought I'd be recognized as much as that, but hopefully I'll get it, and I'll keep working to get that award for Sacred Heart in general, not just for me.
So, I mean, yeah, you talk about, you know, you still have two more years of this. Like I said at the beginning, you have over 2,200 yards in your career after just two full seasons. You know, how disappointing or what were the emotions like when you're getting ready, you're highlighted as one of the best players in the conference, and then COVID strikes and it impacts your season? You know, obviously not having it in the fall, the spring is possibly up in the air. You know, what were the emotions going through your mind when, you know, you have to come with the realization that you may not have a junior year?
Well, last winter going into this year before COVID strike, our team as a unit, we were working hard. Our winter workouts were the best since I've been here. I felt as in I was in the best shape of my entire life. So once COVID strike, we went home, but I worked out every day. and it just it strung me like wow, like we can't have a season, and I felt as though as a team this would be a great year for us. Yeah, we're young, but I think we're ready, and we would have had a great opportunity to show what we are about this year.
And you know, I know in during the summer the NEC had their media day because they were hoping that they could get a season in the fall, and they obviously go through the preseason awards and who was on there, and you were up there along with two of your offensive linemen and Josh Sokol and JD DiRenzo. I mean, everybody sees your yardage and the numbers that you put up, but how much of an impact is it to have returning linemen back that know how you run and know how this offense goes, where they can put you in the best position to find those holes?
Absolutely. It's a key point into the way I play. And those two in particular are two good friends of mine. So they make sure I'm okay and I make sure they're okay. So it's the chemistry that builds within the team and me and my O-line that makes what I do so special and with them, what they do so great for me.
And I'm going to close the interview with some rapid fire questions for you, a little like some Sacred Heart specific questions. So the first one will be, what is the best Mark Nofri story that you have?
Probably when he ripped me in a game. He got to me in a game. I had fumbled the ball my freshman year. I can't say exactly what he said to me, but yeah, that's probably it. It was a funny moment after the fact, but during it, you know, yeah.
What is your favorite uniform to wear? Because I know you guys have a million different combinations that you guys rock throughout the year, and the Sacred Heart Football account has been tweeting out which uniform is better, but what is your personal favorite?
I personally like the all red, or actually the white tops with the red bottoms. I like the most.
And I know I said it when I talked to Coach Nofri that when you guys debuted the throwback, you know, like it's like the Patriots throwback, but you guys had the Pioneer on the helmet. I think that one for me was the best one. And I think I had to throw in the red, white, and blue uniforms too. Those are always those are the good ones. Those I feel like are you know, that's how you know football is back at Campus Field, because I know you guys have worn those for opening night the past 2 years. What is your favorite place to eat on campus?
Favorite place to eat? JP's by far. JP's. I love JP's. I get the cookie skillet every time I go. It doesn't matter what time of day it is. So yeah, JP's definitely.
Where was your favorite place to play outside of Campus Field?
My favorite place probably was UPenn because of how big of the stadium it was. It was a nice stadium to play in. Got that retro feel, and yeah, it was nice.
What about, I mean, obviously that place is just so storied historically, but you know, could you feel it when you were going in there? I know that you had played them at home freshman year, and you go over there now. You go over sophomore year. What was, you know, go into a little more detail about what the feeling was, because I know that place is so historic and has so much history because, you know, Ivy League football is you know, so historic.
Yeah, exactly. And growing up, you always hear about the pinned relays, and it's like, wow, I've never been there before. That was my first time ever going. So it was just like, wow, like this is what it's like to be here in this stadium. But you can hear when we came out, the fans was there. Their band was loud, actually. So yeah, it was loud in there.
Who would you say is the, I guess for lack of better words, who is the class clown, the funniest person on the team?
It's hard. It's a throw up between Joseph DiRenzo and Marquez McCray, actually.
Really? Your quarterback is a jokester.
Yes, he is.
All right. And then my last question is, you know, we talked about the accolades, Rookie of the Year, FCS, you know, All-American, all those awards. But, you know, what can we look forward to seeing from Julius Chestnut that we have not seen yet from him?
More route running, more coming out of the backfield. Definitely, hopefully, we line up in a slot. We'll see more catches this season.
So I should expect a vertical from Julius Chestnut? Is that what I'm hearing?
Absolutely.
Oh, well, Julius, I appreciate you taking the time to talk to me. You know, wishing you all the best. It's always great to see you playing, and hopefully we'll get to see you guys on campus field, hopefully in the spring.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks again to Julius for hopping on the podcast. And he's always a great interview. Great guy. I've gotten to talk to him a couple of times now. You know, he's a hard worker. He's a good guy, and, you know, wishing all the best for him. And hopefully he gets a junior season to showcase and come off of the year that he did last year, where preseason, All-American, already rushed for over 2,000 yards. You know, he's on pace to be one of the great rushers in Sacred Heart football history, which really does mean something. And that has a lot of weight to it, given the success of the program and the players that have come through the program over the past, you know, couple decades, and certainly under the Mark Nofri administration. He has been a driving force in this latest era of success with Pioneer football. So, you know, hoping that news comes out that the NEC will have some sort of a football season, that we'll be able to see him on campus field soon enough. But that'll wrap up this episode of the podcast. Once again, thank you to everybody who listens, who reaches out. It really does mean a lot to me. You know, this is a senior project for me, but this is more than that. It's an opportunity to expand my knowledge within Sacred Heart Sports and talk to people who have performed at Sacred Heart at the highest level. So it really is a thrill for me, and I thank everybody who tunes in. Next week, we have our first ever double interview edition, as the dynamic duo of O.C. Imeoparia and Marquis Harper Jr., the former Sacred Heart football standouts, are now making some noise in the sports media field. O.C. is a part of the Oklahoma City Thunder as a video editor, photo editor, and Marquis Harper is a visual content creator at Under Armour, but before that, he was making these really awesome videos as a content creator for the New England Patriots. So I got to talk to them for more than an hour to kind of talk about their career at SHU and what they're doing now. So that'll be an exciting episode to look out for next week. But until then, thanks so much for everybody who listened. Have a great week, and we'll see you next time.